Everybody stand to your feet at this time and turn to the 20th chapter of the book of Revelation. Please read with me in God's holy word. I want us to stand in acknowledgement of its authority and its truth this morning as we read. I begin in verse 11 of the 20th chapter of Revelation. There are three great days connected to the world's history and the human race. The first one, of course, was God creating this world. The second one was God sending His only begotten Son and redeeming this world. And there's a third day, and that's the day in which He's going to judge this world. Amen. These passages give us that final account when all of humanity stands before this tribunal council of God and gives an account of the things that we have done. I assure you, there's coming a day when all the secrets of men's hearts will be revealed. That scene is declared for us in this 20th chapter in a very vivid description. I am humbled by the reading of these passages of Scripture. I don't know when, and I'm trying to hold back my emotions, but I don't know when I have, in preparation for a sermon, wept as much as I have wept during the preparation of this sermon. I believe there's going to be a judgment of this world, and it's going to be external. It's going to be visible, a formal transaction. It's going to be a judicial proceeding, just like we read starting in verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, say that with me, every man. In other words, every person. Every person according to their works. And death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Let us pray. God, we come before You reading these scriptures, knowing that this day awaits all of us when we shall stand before Your throne. I pray that You would use this reading of Your holy divine word to impress upon our minds and our hearts once again that pending day when we shall give an account of the things done in this body, both good and evil. Lord, I pray that if there's someone here whose name has not yet been recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life, I pray that they would realize that that day will come when they shall give an account of whether or not they've been pardoned by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, whether or not they repented their sins and believed on His name, and that today they will make their calling and their election sure. Oh God, we thank You for loving us. Help me, Father, this day. Open my heart and may I be able to declare these unsearchable riches of Your grace in a way that would impress upon our conscience and upon our minds and upon our hearts that great and terrible day of the Lord. For it's in Jesus we pray, and amen. Amen. You can be seated at this time. This funeral day of the world, as I've read in your hearing, has been foretold by every prophecy, both of the Old and New Testament. The judgment of the world is going to come. And I believe that all of history has revealed this coming day. You think just for a moment about the waywardness of our society. You think of our civilization as we know it. You think of the nations and the communities and all their iniquities and their debaucheries and all of their sins. History, all of history, cries out for a righteous judgment of God. Nations that have committed all kinds of horrific, terrible things. Rulers and dignities that have stood in tyranny. There's coming a day of judgment for them all. History cries out for righteous judgment not only of nations, but also of society in general. Communities that have failed to serve God. Sinfulness and transgressions that communities have committed. But not only that, there's a personal accountability for each and every one of us. All the wrongs that have been committed in the world, there's coming a day when they will have been made right. There's been revelations of truth that's been untold and misrepresented. There's been communities where people have served the Lord faithfully and they have followed the Lamb, and yet they've been tortured and persecuted and martyred. There are those that deserve recognition for periods of history that have been yet to receive their just recompense. And these passages reveal to us that there's coming a day, a payday, a day of final retribution. All of history reveals that there's a need of this coming day. Not only that, but all of the previous judgments of God are a warning. They're a caution to us. They declare to us that there's coming a day of judgment. When God destroyed the world with a flood, it was a warning to us that there's coming this day. When fire and brimstone rained out of heaven upon Sodom and Gomorrah, it is an example of the eternal wrath of God that will be poured out one day upon this world. And it is warning us and cautioning us of this coming day, the day of God, when we will stand in judgment. In the 7th verse of Jude, it actually says that. Well, Jude in general tells us that the fire and brimstone that fell upon Sodom and Gomorrah, it is set forth for an example of the suffering, the vengeance of the eternal fire of God. All the sins of different communities that became full, like we read of the Amorites in Canaan, where the Bible says that their sin, their iniquity became full, and God brought judgment upon them. All the judgments that have been brought upon Israel and Enon and Babylon and Greece and Rome and upon America. Listen, all of these are just warnings. Warnings of this pending final day of judgment. In the first chapter of Romans, we read that that the wrath of God is revealed, that judgment's been brought upon different communities where God just simply steps back and gives them over to a reprobate mind. These are judgments to cause men to repent. All the pouring out of the vials in the book of Revelation, we read at the conclusion of them that it was God's desire that they would repent. Repent. The calamities that are not only brought upon us nationally or in a particular community or society, but even the personal tragedies of our life, God is trying to get our attention that there's coming a day when sin and iniquity and transgression must be answered. A judgment day. These warnings, they're a prelude of the eternal fire of God's vengeance and the final day of judgment.
So not only does all of history reveal this day is coming, but also all the previous judgments of God that have been poured out upon humanity, they declare that this day is coming. All through the book of Revelation leads us to this final day. Those of you that have been attending that endeavor of study of the book of Revelation, one of the most difficult works that I've ever undertaken in all of my ministry, and yet the least appreciated. If you've been following along in those studies, I've been trying to bring you to this point, the point of which every preacher and every prophet and every teacher and every witness of the true church of Jesus Christ has been trying to point people to. There's coming a day of judgment. A day of judgment. All of these things should be preparing us for that day. I contend that everything that we do in the church, every good work that we strive to do, every preach word that's went out from the pulpits across this country, every testimony that's ever been given, it is all summed up in the totality that we're trying to warn people. There's coming a day when you're going to stand before the great white throne of God's judgment. Here at this place, at the great white throne, the totality of your life, the sum of the matter, the essence of your life will be reviewed and it will be revealed. This unfolding of this stupendous event has been long anticipated by the people of God. It's been long anticipated by the messengers of the Lord. Every prophet and preacher and teacher of the gospel has tried to warn people to prepare for that day. Peter, on the day of Pentecost, in Acts chapter 2, verses 17 through 21, he quoted the prophet Joel, who also made reference of the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord is coming, that great and terrible day of the Lord, when you will stand before the judgment bar of God. And preachers today, they should be warning people about the great white throne of judgment. This event, it accompanies the second coming of the Lord. Let me give you a little asterisk here. I am not going to waste my time trying to overthrow all the heretical aspects of people's teachings concerning the great white throne of judgment. I'm not going to cast my pearls before swines. I'm just going to preach it as the Bible says it. I'm telling you, nobody is going to escape the great white throne of judgment. Amen. No one. People are not going to get snuck in. Every man must stand before God. This final day of redemption history is going to come. It must come. It's been already revealed several times, the approaching event in the opening of the sixth seal. Remember? Yes, where the sun, it is cloaked in sackcloth, where the moon begins to bleed, where the stars fall from heaven and the sky rolls back like a scroll. I'm telling you, this world is going to stand before the great white throne of judgment, and heaven and earth is going to flee away. Amen. It's going to burn. It's going to burn and be destroyed. Every scripture of God's holy word carries us forward to this great day of God. In the apocalypse is the day of judgment. I resent people talking about this political aspect of this or that, or this economical thing is the apocalypse. I'll tell you what the apocalypse is. It's when you stand before the great white throne of God's judgment. All scripture carries us to this day, like we read in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 12, where it tells us in that passage that Jesus is coming quickly and his reward is with him to give every man according as his work shall be. You see that? Every man as his work shall be. I assure you on this day, God will get it right. It will be a righteous judgment. God won't make any mistakes. It'll be a holy judgment. All scripture carries us to this. We read throughout the Word of God where it's called the day. It's called the great day. It's called the day of the Lord. It's called the day of great and terrible things. It's called the great and terrible day of the Lord. It's called the day when Jesus shall be revealed from heaven. It's called the last day. Jesus said, on the last day, this is the last day. This is the winding up and the wrapping up of all of redemption history. And we're all going to be ushered in and summoned before the great white throne of God. Enoch echoed this in his prophecy long ago. He said, the Lord's coming. Amen. The 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment on all the ungodly of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and all their ungodly communications. I'm telling you, this has been echoed not only by him, but the Psalm of Asaph where he says, our God shall come and he will not keep silent. God shall bring every work into judgment. There's coming a time when the Lord comes and all people are going to stand before him and he's going to separate the sheep from the goats. Amen. Not only did Jesus teach it, but the Holy Ghost inspired John and Paul and Peter. They all talked about it. They all preached it. They all, under divine inspiration, they wrote about it. Under divine inspiration, when he shall come, Jesus is going to come and he's going to judge the quick and the dead at his appearing. I'm going to read you just, I got to insert these. They're more powerful than any words that I can say. We read in Acts chapter 17 and verse 31. Because he hath appointed a day. He hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man which he hath ordained. Whereof he hath given assurance unto all men. In that he hath raised him from the dead. Do you believe Jesus resurrected from the dead? Amen. That assures us there's going to be a day. A day that you're going to stand in judgment. There's going to be a day that this world will be judged. Amen. He's given assurance of that. In Romans chapter 14 and verse 10. And this is the controversy many times. People think, well, saints will get to escape judgment. No, you won't. No, you won't. We read in like Romans chapter 14 and verse 10, where it talks about if a brother is judging another brother, he's got a nod against another brother, you've got some contention between you brethren out there. You know what Paul said when he was writing the 14th chapter of Romans? You just wait. You both are going to have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And the one that is right will be recognized. And the one that is wrong will be judged. He says that in not only the 10th verse, but also the 11th verse and the 12th verse. He says, but why do you judge your brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all, verse 10, all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Verse 12, so every person will give an account of himself unto God. The great Noah Webster, no doubt a genius, a brilliant man with a brilliant mind. In a conference one time, somebody asked him, what's the greatest thought you ever contemplated? What's the greatest thing you've ever meditated upon? What's the greatest thought that ever entered your mind? He looked at that individual, he said, the greatest thought I've ever had is my personal accountability before God. Amen. My personal accountability before God. Listen, my friend, you need to be very careful judging others because you're going to be judged. Amen. In Romans chapter 2 and verse 5, There he talks about the day of wrath is going to be revealed. Look there in Romans chapter 2 and verse 5. He talks about the righteous judgment of God. I like this verse. Yeah, the wrath is going to be revealed and the righteous judgment of God is going to come down. And he says, who will render to every man according to his deeds. And he talks about rendering rewards to the faithful and condemning the lost. Here in this passage, we have saved and lost, believer and unbeliever, and they're both summons to the judgment bar of God. Together. Listen, if you have taken up with this idea that the judgment seat of Christ and the great white throne of judgment are two different judgments, you're wrong. Amen. There's only one judgment. It's the final judgment. And according to Paul, they both stand there side by side. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 12 and 14, for God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it good or whether it be evil. Listen, my friend, don't take up with some logical fallacy that goes on in most theological realms. People say, well, that'll make me cry. Oh, that'll make me sad. God won't let me cry in heaven. That'll make me sad, so that can't be brought up in judgment. Listen, I don't know how he's going to do it, but the Bible says he's going to do it. He's going to do it. Every good thing, every evil thing, every secret thing. We read in 2 Corinthians 5 and 10, it says, we'll all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and everyone will receive the things done to the body according to as he has done, whether it's good or evil. In 1 Corinthians 3 and 13, it says, every man's works shall be manifested, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Jesus said in Luke chapter 12 and verse 2, he said, there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. He said in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 36, he said, every idle word. You guys hearing this? Every imagination of your heart, every idle word, every secret thing, everything is going to be brought in view before the judgment bar of God. Are you hearing this? He said, listen to it, every idle word. Everybody say idle word. You know, have you ever had your mouth move quicker than your mind? Oh, come on. That's one of those words. You're going to be judged by that. Every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. In Acts chapter 10 and verse 42, it talks about how that we have commanded and preached that he's going to judge this world by the man he has ordained who will judge the quick and the dead. We preach Jesus. And in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1, passage I already quoted, that Jesus is going to judge the world, the quick and the dead, at his appearing and at his kingdom. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1, the Bible teaches us also in John chapter 5 verse 22 that the Father hath committed all judgment unto the Son. We read in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 32 that he's going to gather all nations at his coming, and he's going to separate the sheep from the goat. Matthew chapter 25, you need to read that entire chapter. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 5, it tells us, how therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes. When the Lord comes, wraps up all the affairs of this world and destroys it with fire, at his second coming is going to be the final judgment. I just had to interject all of those passages of Scripture to you hurriedly, because I fear that we have lost sight of the judgment. Amen. See, it was the preaching of the judgment that caused people to repent. Be mindful of that. They preached on the judgment. When Paul was at Athens, he said, God has appointed a day. He's going to judge you. He's going to judge you. He wanted those people of Athens to repent. To repent. To repent. We become so flippant and about the last day of judgment. We talk so little about it. It's so far from our minds and our hearts. Listen, my friend, everything you've ever done in hindrance of the gospel, everything you've done in the promotion of His kingdom, everything you have done, whether bad or good, it's going to be brought into judgment. I come quickly, He says, and my reward is with me to give every person according as he has done, according to the way he has worked, according to the way he has lived. We are moving to that stage, that final stage, and everything is moving us there, propping us up for that final prophecy to be fulfilled, where John says here in verse 11, "And I saw the great white throne." The great white throne. The great white throne. Everything in this universe, in my estimation, is being drawn to that final day. Everything in, of our lives, individually, is being summoned to that final day. Every living thing in the world is being pulled toward that final scene. The Bible says that even creation groans for that day. You think about that. Everything is being pulled. Every generation is being brought in view on that day. Even Jesus said the generations that had less light, that received mercy, they'll rise up in judgment against other generations. He said Nineveh shall rise up in judgment against this generation because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. Our world has grown indifferent toward the great white throne of judgment. And people, that's one of the reasons we find so few people on our altars repenting. Well, Jesus said it would be that way. He says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be coming at the revealing of the Son of Man. These passages in Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15, they point us to that grand and glorious day when all the dead, small and great, are summoned before the throne. What a vision, what a view to see every person, small and great, whether you're small in stature or whether you're large in stature, whether you're famous or you're nobody, no matter who you are, every person who has ever taken a breath on this earth, they will stand before the great white throne. Every eye shall see him, the Bible says. We must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and a righteous recompense will be rewarded on that day to give every man according to his works. This scene, this day, this great day of the advent of our Lord Jesus Christ, it's a decisive day, a day of rightness, a day of separation, a day of final rewards, a day when the secrets of men's hearts are revealed, a day when everything will be manifested concerning your life, where the sum total of your life will be laid out before the judgment bar of God. Whatsoever we have sown, we surely will reap. Every man will receive on that day as he has done in this body. I want you to think about God just for a moment. Or think about the greatness, the whiteness of his throne. You know, the Bible says that the heavens and the earth, they shake at the presence of God. You think there was thundering and lightning on Mount Sinai. You just wait till you stand before the judgment seat of Christ. You just wait till you stand before the great white throne. If the heavens and the earth shake at the presence of the Lord, if there's not a single person who will escape this, every person from Adam to the last man, they will all stand before him. We read at the opening of the six seals that kings of the earth, great men, captain men, mighty men, every bound man, every free man, they must stand face to face with he who sits on the throne. We will give an account of our actions. Think about that. If you would just ponder that for a moment. You will give an account for every imagination of your heart. Every thought that has taken wings toward wickedness will be revealed. every word that you've spoken that is contrary to the holiness and the righteousness of God will be before him. Every transgression in thought and in action will be exposed on that day. You will give an account of the state of your heart. You'll give an account of how you have handled your talent. Every opportunity that's been afforded to you, if you squandered it, you will be accountable for it. Whether you hid it in the ground or you invested it, there's coming a day of judgment, a day of accountability, a day of personal accountability. How you've influenced others. See, one of the reasons for judgment off in the future and a final judgment is because of the ripple effect. The way you live your life is influencing other people. Just like you throw a pebble out in a pond. You know, and the ripples of that take a while to reach the shore. Well, we're impacting other generations. Everything, listen to me, everything will be brought into judgment. You young people, listen to me. You think because you're young, you're going to be exempt from judgment. You're wrong. You're wrong. You sow wild oats, and wild oats will go into judgment. They will follow you there. Nobody's going to be smuggled into heaven apart and not go into judgment. It's not going to happen. Every thought, every action, every word, every intention, every motive will be exposed. It'll be exposed whether or not you repented, whether you believed, or whether you loved God, or whether you had zeal for God, whether you were trustworthy and faithful. All these things will be revealed at the great white throne. The essence of your life and the impact that it made, whether good or evil, will be there. All will be laid out before the judgment bar of God. Your witness, whether it was good or bad, it'll be known there. You know, you can fool us, but you will not fool he who sits on the great white throne. It's a righteous judgment. He knows the thoughts and intents of our heart. He probes the heart. He knows our motives. He knows our thoughts. He will summons even people who have been, who have died and their bodies were lost in the sea. No matter where they are, no one will escape. They can be in the very bottom of the sea, but all will be summons to the great white throne. Listen, my friend, you will be there. You will be there. All are required. None will escape. And there's an inescapable verdict concerning the righteous judgment of God. All the inhabitants of the world will stand there before his throne, from Adam to the last man. He will separate the sheep from the goats. No one will escape. John said, and I saw a great white throne. You know, I believe that all of creation feels the magnitude and the authority and the sovereignty and the power of that throne. I believe even the leaves on the trees, you may differ with me, I believe all of creation, the smallest molecule at the very bottom of the depths of the sea, sense the magnitude of the great white throne. I believe every spirit in the region of the abyss, even hell itself, feels the magnitude of the great white throne. You know what bothers me? Is that you're sitting here today and you don't feel the magnitude of the great white throne of judgment on your life. My friend, is your conscience seared with a hot iron? Has the devil deceived you? Are you off in sin somewhere, a pleasure, and you don't realize that you're going to be summoned before the great white throne? Don't you feel that? Do you feel that? If the smallest molecule down in the depths of the ocean senses it, if all the demons in hell sense the great white throne, they feel it. They feel the magnitude of that day. Every lost soul that went into hell, they sense that day when they'll be summoned before the great white throne. And yet you're here, alive, with the opportunities of mercy and grace. And there's no feeling upon your heart and upon your life. They know they won't escape it. And I assure you, you won't either. There's no place to hide. No place to hide from the great white throne. Time's getting away from me. Here's the bottom line. Every day of your life, every day of your life, you're piling up thoughts, words, deeds, motives, and it takes place, whether toward good or evil, and it is interwoven in the very fabric of your character and who you are and the summation of your life. And all that's going to be brought before the great white throne. I sat in my study this past week, and with my eyes of faith, I saw myself standing before the great white throne. With all of my life exposed, I saw him with eyes as fire, feet of brass, with a sharp-edged sword going forth from his mouth, getting to the very joints and marrows of my soul and dividing them, laying open every thought and every intent of my heart. Opening all of that up before the judgment of God. And I felt the magnitude of it over and over and over again. That day when I stand before the great white throne of God's judgment. And then I saw him who sat on it. And it was him who was born in a barn in Bethlehem. It was he who showed mercy and love and grace and cleansed the lepers, made the blind to see, and it was the one that I had trusted in and clung to and poured out my life before when I was a 10-year-old boy and said, Lord, give me a cross and I'll follow you all the days of my life. And he gave me a cross and I saw him who I had served and I had loved with all of my heart and tried to submit my life to and surrender to. It was he who loved me. While heaven and earth fled away, the one sitting on the throne was the one that I ran to for refuge and laid hold upon and obtained eternal life. He is the one who sits on the throne that I long to see. Y'all understand that? I just can't wait to see his face because he gave himself for me. The one sitting on the throne was the one who in his own body bore my sins. It was he who hung on the cross and became my substitute. It is he who justified me by faith in the sight of God. It is he who I trusted to the point to where I experienced a cleansing deep down in my soul as I looked toward he who sat upon the throne. It was my friend. My friend. My friend that sticketh closer than a brother. It was the one who was my buckler and my high tower. He was the one that I founded my life upon. He said, if you'll build upon me, I'm the rock. And he said, if you'll establish your life on my words and my sayings, when the storm comes, when the wind blows, your house will stand. And there I am, poured out before the judgment bar of God, poured out in the greatest storm of my life that I've ever endured, I'm facing. But I assure you, because I built my life upon his sayings, and because I built my life upon that solid foundation, somehow, someway, because of Jesus, I stand. The only begotten Son of God, my elder brother, my ransom and my redeemer, my Savior. There he is, my Savior. He that sat on it is my shepherd, my fortress. He's my all in all. He's all I am. That is the substance of my life. There he is. He is the substance of my life. For without him, I'm nothing. With him, I'm everything. I appreciate you listening to me this morning. Oh, listen, there is a great white throne of judgment, and he that sits on it is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He'll open that book and he'll say, yeah, you did some stuff while you were here. That was a little good. Tim, Pastor Tim, you like to call yourself. But as I look into this book of life, every one of those works that you did has flown from this book, from the book of the Lamb, from the book of life, because I'm in Jesus. He's my Lord and my Savior. Whew. Yeah, it is going to be, you can say it's going to be an easy thing if you want to. I disagree. It is going to be the great and terrible day of the Lord. But praise God, I'm in Jesus. I'm in Jesus. I trust in Jesus. I trust in Jesus. He is my Savior, and he is my Lord, and he's the one that sits on the throne. Oh, man. You know what? As terrible as all of it's going to be, I'm ready. I'm ready for that day. I'm prepared because I trust in Jesus. And his blood has cleansed me from all unrighteousness. Praise God. Listen, my friend, there's coming a great white throne of judgment. And punishment and pardon are determined based upon whether or not you know him. He's going to say on that great day to many, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I never knew you. He's going to say to the other group that knew him, they knew him in life, they experienced him in life, they knew him to be the Savior and the Lord, the King of Kings, the forgiver of sin. He's going to say to that other group, come, my blessed of the Father, enjoy that has been prepared for you from the very foundation of the world. Praise God. The Bible says prepare. What are you preparing for? You're preparing for that day, the day of judgment, the day when you'll be brought before he who sits on the throne. Let us sing.